In May 1967, Egyptian President Gamal Abdel Nasser expelled a UN emergency force that had been stationed on the Sinai Peninsula since a British, French, and Israeli invasion 10 years earlier. After the withdrawal of the UN peacekeepers, Egypt amassed its tanks and soldiers on the Israeli border and closed the Straits of Tehran to all ships flying Israeli flags. Israel responded with a similar mobilization and on June 5th launched a preemptive attack against Egypt's air force. The strike brought Jordan and Syria into the conflict on Egypt's side, and they were joined by troops and arms from Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, Morocco, Algeria, and Tunisia. By the war's end, Israel had won a decisive victory, gaining control of the Sinai Peninsula, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, East Jerusalem, and the Golan Heights. British journalist Ian Williams, who reports from the United Nations, says a host of misperceptions invited the conflict, creating a geopolitical reality that has existed ever since.
It was the 67 war which cemented the idea of Israel as the David facing the Goliath of the Arab world. Israeli historians and politicians now admit that there was no threat from the Egyptians, who were in no position whatsoever to mount an attack. But the bluster and bravado of Egyptian President Gamal Abdel Nasser gave the Israelis an opportunity for a preemptive strike.
For example, Mr. Williams says he interviewed an Egyptian general in Cairo who was a Coptic Christian but was also a strong nationalist 40 years ago.
He was in charge of a post near the Suez Canal, and he said, "I was sitting in my office listening to the radio reports about our great victory when I saw all of these people coming running towards us. And when we went out to meet them, of course, they were our victorious soldiers running like hell from the battlefront." It was Nasser who insisted that the UN forces on the ceasefire line between Sinai and Gaza and Israel should be removed. He had every right to do so, but it was a very stupid thing to do because it meant that there was not the slightest impediment to the Israeli attack.
In fact, once Israeli forces took out the Egyptian air force on the ground, Ian Williams says there was never any real opportunity for Egypt, Syria, Jordan, and their Arab allies to recover from Israel's preemptive strike. To this day, Arabs in many Muslim communities around the world view the consequences of the Six-Day War as catastrophic. But Israeli journalist Natan Gutman of the Jewish Daily Forward says most Israelis view the situation with less emotion.
They were born into Greater Israel. This war, which has shaped the Israeli-Arab conflict ever since, seems to be a matter of fact for most Israelis living in Israel. I don't think there's that much of a debate over what happened back then in May 1967 over decisions made. I think the Israeli public wants to know how you saw the situation, but is not concerned about what led to it.
Nonetheless, the major concern on all sides, by Israelis, Arabs, and Westerners, involves the issue of Israeli settlements in territories captured during the Six-Day War. Much of the international community, including the UN Security Council and the International Court of Justice, view the settlements as illegal. President Obama has made it clear he wants settlement activity in these territories to stop. And while Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu insists those settlements established in the aftermath of the Six-Day War should have the right to natural growth, he hints at the possibility of compromise on new settlements. Again, Israeli journalist Natan Gutman.
We should remember also that when we talk about the illegal outposts, this is something that previous Israeli government had already agreed to remove because they're illegal by Israeli law. They were put up without any building permit. So that should be an easier sell to the Israeli public.
Before Prime Minister Netanyahu assumed power about 2 months ago, Mr. Gutman said Israeli leaders from both labor and Kadima camps accepted the idea of a two-state solution. However, he says, Mr. Netanyahu's situation is more complicated and needs to be seen against the backdrop of a very difficult right-wing coalition he is trying to manage. For the Palestinians, Israel's occupation of the territories, won in the Six-Day War, is a complete disaster. So says Arab journalist Nadi Belbaisi of the Middle East Broadcasting Center.
It wasn't just the displacement of the Palestinian people from 48 onwards, but also losing new territory, the West Bank and Gaza, the Golan Heights, the Sinai. So it involved three or four fronts, and people became refugees for the second time.
Ms. Belbaisi, who was part of the press corps accompanying President Obama on this week's trip to Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Germany, and France, says Mr. Obama's support for Palestinian statehood necessarily requires an end to settlement building, And statehood, he has said, is not only in America's national interest, but also in Israel's long-term national interest as well.
Therefore, he wanted the state to be viable. To be viable, it has to be connected, the West Bank and Gaza. And that means that Israel has to withdraw from the four blocks of settlement that it established since it occupied the West Bank in 1967. We have heard very clearly from Secretary Clinton, from the president himself, that they wanted a total freeze, not just on the outposts, but also on national growth.
Nadia Bilbasi says progress on settlements represents the easy part of a final status solution. She says more difficult will be the issues of Jerusalem, the right of refugee return, water rights, security, and cooperation between Fatah and Hamas. Some Middle East analysts suggest that eventually the so-called Saudi settlement will serve as the basis for a resolution to the current impasse. As Ian Williams explains, that would mean the 1967 boundaries would become international boundaries, with room for swapping of land here and there. Although Prime Minister Netanyahu currently refuses to discuss such a solution, Mr. Williams and Nadia Bilbasi note that it was Likud Prime Minister who agreed to give up Sinai in return for peace with Egypt 30 years ago. For International Press Club, I'm Judith Latham.